Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by WitchSchool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in today. I am Michael Graywolf, artist, traveler, all-around geek, witch, and brother initiate of the Unnamed Path. Okay, you there?
Hello, hello.
Okay. And my co-host, my guest co-host is, again, our brother Chase Powers. Chase, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Chase, a brother initiate of the Unnamed Path, a sorcerer, a sigil crafter, and all-around dark arts and crafter.
Thank you for joining me again today, Chase. And everyone, you are listening to Walking the Unnamed Path. On this podcast, we discuss the teachings and techniques given to us by the ancestors of men who love men and laid out by our late founder, Hyperion. We also touch on topics and ideas pertaining to queer pagan men in general. We're glad you've decided to join us today. And we hope you'll be part of the show either by calling in at 347-308-8222 or hang out in the chat room. If I can get that open, hopefully, or dropping us an email at walkingtheunnamedpath@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at walking_theup or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/walkingtheunnamedpath. Now, how have you been, Chase? I know you've been kind of sick lately.
Yeah, I've been fighting off a head and chest cold for about a week now, but doing pretty great, actually, all things considered. So getting ready for all sorts of fun stuff, hopefully coming up soon, including
awesome.
A trip to Texas in a couple of months.
Yay! Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Super excited about that.
Yeah, my brother is getting married again.
Oh.
It's true.
Yay.
Very happy occasion.
Awesome. Well, that's good. Yay for wedding.
They're even inviting me into a church.
Oh, wow. Well, don't burn the place down, Chase.
I would never do such a thing.
Never, never. And, you know, it's been a pretty busy couple of weeks for me as well. I haven't been sick, thank the gods. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. God, that was just because I breathed in. It wasn't because I was getting sick. Yesterday was my last day working at Target, and I start my new mundane job on Monday. So I'm very excited about that. Yay. And it's, looking for a new job thing has thrown a lot of what I wanted to do this year out of whack. So unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do as many things I'd hoped to, but I'm hoping towards the end of the year, I'll be able to do, really hoping and, you know, going to cross my fingers and talk to my boss about getting time off to do a couple of things I wanted to do at the end of the year. I'm actually wanting to go back to Between the Worlds, a spiritual gathering for men who love men, which is in Ohio, which is going to be a hell of a drive from Texas. And my boyfriend is actually getting married in October, so I'm going to be up there and participate in the wedding. So I'm very excited about that. And yeah,
nice, lovely. And yeah, I know that feeling of changing jobs, making everything kind of crazy. I'm hoping that I will have enough time off at the end of the year to be able to go to Stone and Stang this year.
Awesome.
Really, really, really hoping.
Yeah. We all need that time just away from our everyday lives to just be around a whole bunch of other pagans, gay or however, and just, spend time fellowshipping.
Happy naked pagan time.
This year. Yes. Normally I go to PSG every year, and this is the first year since I started attending the festival that I'm not going to be going, and I'm sad about that. I will make it back next year. I have decided I will do that. I'm just going to miss this 1 year. But I am looking forward to Between the Worlds. I met a whole bunch of wonderful people there last year, and actually one of the people I met is now a student in the Unlane Path. And I'm actually going to be down in South Texas for his first in-person class with a few of
other
brothers.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. And then he's going to come back up to Dallas with me and spend some time here before he flies out to wherever the wind takes him. So I'm excited about that. And was there anything else I wanted to say before we got into what our show is about today? I did want to point out that today's episode is the 40th episode of Walking the Unknown Path. And I'm like, wow, we have 40 episodes. I can't believe it.
They haven't shut us down for obscenity yet.
Oh, no. And I was trying to do the math earlier, and I couldn't get the calendar wouldn't come up for me because I was trying to figure out how. And it's 10 more episodes before our 50th episode, and I think we should do something special for that. But I was trying to figure out when that was going to be. It will probably be before the end of the year, so. We'll keep everyone informed on that, what we decide to do for our 50th episode. But for today's episode, we are thrilled to be having two of our brothers joining us. Our brother Cliff Camacho has returned to the show. He will be joining us, and we have a fairly new brother. I should have asked him how he wanted to be referred to as. I'm going to say Robert is going to be joining us today in the virtual studio. And we're going to be talking about relationships. The different types of relationships that we see in the queer community, how they're changing, how they work, and, talk a little bit about our own. And I've shared several articles over the last week, it's been basically a week, I haven't done it the last couple of days, on different relationships involving queer men. And just, I think there was one that was just relationships in general. And I also shared a link to one of Hyperion's original podcasts on, actually, Redefining Love Relationships. It was episode 42 of the Unnamed Path podcast. So let me go ahead and bring, where is that tab? Let me go ahead and bring Cliff and Robert on. See, that should be Cliff. And there's Robert. Welcome.
Hello,
guys. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Before we, get started, would you two mind introducing yourself a little bit? I know, Cliff, you've been on the show before, but would you mind introducing yourself again? And maybe mention, who's your matron or patron in the Unknown Path? And let's start with you, Cliff, and then Robert.
Oh, I can start. It's Clippy. My patron is, my mother is the dark goddess, and my father is the light god. I'm kind of driven by both, which is fun at times, but it tends to lead me into interesting situations, and I really much am grateful that both of them take the lead in my life.
And you are?
I'm Robert, trying to go by Azrael, but, you know, life. My matron is the dark goddess, and I am working on trying to figure out who my patron is.
Awesome, awesome. To kind of get into, you know, what we're going to be talking about, you know, how about, you know, everybody share, you know, what is your current relationship status? You know, what type of relationship are you in? And, let me first say, you know, so that we don't confuse people, when you're wanting to speak or it's your turn to speak, will you say this is Michael, or this is Cliff, or this is Azrael, or this is Chase, so that we, you know, keep everything straight or straight-ish when we're having our discussion. So, you know, what is everyone's type of relationship that they are currently in? And let's go ahead and start with you, Chase.
Hello. I'm sorry. You're gonna have to rephrase your question. My ear was clogged up.
Oh, that's okay. You know, what is your current relationship status? You know, how?
Oh goodness. As Facebook would call it, it's complicated. I am polyamorous. I am currently seeing three people, all of whom know about each other, two of whom are also seeing each other at the same time, and one of whom is actually also getting married in a couple of months. And so that's bringing an extra level of complication into all of that.
I totally understand that. And let's go and do Azrael.
We have my quote unquote husband, who is not my legal husband, have an open relationship. And we're open to polyamory.
Awesome, awesome. And you, Cliffy?
I started my career as a fin man living in an open relationship, which developed into polyamory without realizing. And I've been in a solid relationship with my husband, my primary partner, for... oh, God, I think it's close to 13 years, 12 or 13 years now, because Patrick has been with us for about 9. That's my other partner.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And I am currently also in a polyamorous relationship. I have my boyfriend, and he's actually the only person I am dating. His fiance is a wonderful man. You know, we are friends. You know, we're very good friends. And we are leaving it open to maybe something might develop in the future. But as of right now, you know, we're just good with being friends and learning more about each other. And they actually have a... it sounds weird to say... because they have a shared boyfriend. I guess they have a boyfriend. back in Illinois, and I am currently in a long-distance open poly relationship. So, yeah, that's a whole lot of fun. Not really. So, it seems like everyone here is kind of, is basically open poly-ish, which should make for an interesting discussion today. Is the relationship you're in now what you thought your relationship, is the relationship you're in now the type of relationship you thought you would be in where you are in your life at the moment?
Ha! This is Chase. So I did not start out as being as realizing that I was poly. In fact, the first major relationship that I ever had, I was insistent upon monogamy. When my then boyfriend wanted to open up our relationship, I had more or less a meltdown and was like, "No, no open relationship. Closed relationship, only monogamy, because this is all I know. And open relationships I do not understand." This, as you can imagine, did not go well, and the relationship did not end well. The relationship that I'm in now, I did not think this would be where I was at. As Cliff can attest to, I was a terrible dater. And spent a lot of time either single or pining after boys who didn't like me back. And being here in Portland and finding myself suddenly involved with multiple people who all want to be with me that I wasn't necessarily looking for has been kind of a trip. So I'm going to go with no, this is not the type of relationship I thought I would be in.
This is Cliffy. I imagined I would be in a harem of 50,000 men that would be at my beck and call. Of course, I think large. I'm a big thinker, you know, got high hopes. But in truth, I kind of followed my parents. I wanted the kind of relationship, and I didn't see it as just one. I mean, I did with Billy in the beginning, but I wanted the joy. I wanted stupid laughter. I wanted stupid things to laugh and joke about. And no, it wasn't what I envisioned. Definitely was a whole lot more than I was prepared for.
This is Azrael. Growing up, no, this is not where I thought I would be. But as we went into this relationship with open eyes about it being open.
Awesome. Now, I know when we were introducing our relationship, Cliff said he was married, and Azrael said an official husband. I don't know, I guess not married or just been together for a very long time. Do you think marriage is still one of the things that we as queer men are wanting?
Hey, this is Cliffy. Let me say something on that. No. And the reason I say no is because I never thought it was an option. I didn't think it was something that I would ever have. I didn't think it was something I could believe in. I didn't like wedding music. I didn't really want to go to weddings. But then things changed. And I realized that deep down, I always wanted something like that. And I think now I can see that when I didn't before.
This is Azrael.
Oh, go ahead.
I think I wanted marriage when I was younger, but knew it wasn't really an option. But the only reason that John and I aren't married are for financial reasons. Otherwise, we would be married.
Mm-hmm. You want to say something, Chase?
Yeah. So this is Chase. I, growing up, I have a really good picture of what a married relationship looks like. My parents have been married and are still married. You know, they got married a year and a half before I was born. I have a good solid idea of what a married relationship looks like. When I figured out that I was gay, I sort of put that idea on the back burner about ever getting married, because especially in Texas, you know, for the longest time, until I was even in college, you could be thrown in jail for having sex with another man because the sodomy laws were still on the book.
Yeah.
So, I didn't really think too much about getting married. I sort of thought about, you know, what can I do to have a good relationship with somebody and be able to live as myself. When marriage equality came about, I don't know. I'm still sort of on the fence about it. I've also had really interesting arguments with people who are and were anti-marriage equality about, you know, specifically people who know other people who are in poly relationships. And their, you know, their response is, well, if two men can get married, why not three men? Why not a whole bunch of men? Why not make, you know, why not allow polyamorous marriage? And I'm like, well, why not allow polyamorous marriage? If your only reasoning is things like inheritance laws, there are already precedents set for that with people who've been married multiple times who have children. And it's not hard to figure that out, really. So, I mean, spin again.
Yeah. And this is Michael. And I just realized I didn't answer the question I had asked earlier, when I was asking y'all about where you are right now in your relationship. You know, I for myself, I never thought I would be in a polyamorous relationship when I was growing up. And, you know, in my head, it was always going to be, you know, I was going to be with that one person, and that was going to be the person I'd be with for the rest of my life. And I had my parents, like you, Chase, I had my parents as the model for, you know, what I thought a marriage is. And, you know, it's not to say that my parents have a good marriage. Their relationship to each other is kind of confrontational at times, and I've just chalked up to being Mexican at times. But for the most part, I know they love each other. They're there for each other through thick and thin. It's like when my dad had open heart surgery, my mother was there for him by his bed every day. That's what I think about. I think, you know, someone who's going to be there for you, you know, all the time through thick and thin. And now that I'm older, a little bit more wiser, you know, I don't see marriage as a necessity for cementing your relationship. It should be if you want to get married, it should just be a symbol of your commitment to your partner or partners. Because I, you know, handcuffed, you know, in all the, I think our current laws are you can only be married to one person at a time. But you can be, you know, being pagan, you can be handcuffed to as many people as you want. And a legal, quote-unquote, marriage. But, you know, that's just kind of how I see it. You know, it's a symbol of your commitment to someone else. Um, you know, and I would say you were all fairly older queer men. I'm not sure how old Aziel is. I think he might be younger than me. But, you know, would you say that, you know, in the last, like, 5-10 years, have you seen a big shift in the type of relationships that queer men are looking for?
Hey, this is Cliffy. I don't know if it was like a magical moment or if it was the fact that we allowed weddings and now we can get married. I think it was more along the lines, like at this stage of the game, that we actually had the freedom to look at these options and look further into what a relationship really means. Like, instead of trying to be like my parents and have their relationship, I actually got to stop and go, well, what is it I really need? And I mean, for me, more than one partner kept things spicy and fun for both of us. And the love aspect, we weren't prepared for until it hit. Like we were not, we were thinking, it's just a fun guy to have, you know, sex with on the side. And then after 6 months, it turned into both of us admitting to each other that we were in love with him. And then having to process that. But since both of us are in an older generation, it was new almost to us. Because I'm in my 40s. Billy's up there. I'm not going to say his age because I'm not going to get cut. But Billy's up
ooh,
there.
Girl.
So, like I said, it wasn't – that's the thing about, I want to say, our generation is like – it wasn't an option or a thought. If you did that kind of thing, you weren't a great person to be around. You weren't a quality person. You know, you were doing drugs. You were having lots of sex on the side with random people. I mean, that was that world I grew up in. And then I realized it was a whole lot more than just that. That's what I got.
Anyone else?
So this is Chase. I would say that I have mixed feelings and have had mixed feelings about the whole marriage equality thing for a while. Part of it is I think that people should be free to do what they want, but also I've noticed a really unpleasant trend in the LGBT community that now that we have the option to become legally married, that means that we should then become legally married and monogamous, and that we should have our relationships as queer people suddenly model the same heteronormative relationships. And so feelings are complicated about that. I've had a lot of really good models for open and poly relationships from being with Billy and Cliff in their lives for a year less than the two of them have been together, and seeing their relationship with their, you know, their other partner, Patrick, sort of blossom into what it became or what it has become. You know, I have another friend here in Portland, actually, who is married to a woman and who is voraciously bisexual, who has an open relationship with his wife, because she, you know, upon the conversation told him, you know, honey, I love you and I want you to be happy. And if you need penis, I can't be a penis for you. So, you know, go make yourself happy. You know, I have other people who've been less successful in their modelings of poly relationships. And so I don't necessarily know that this is something that's kind of become recent. I feel like this is maybe something that people are a little more comfortable in sharing. And I think it's almost, at least for us, as we get to be more comfortable, as we get to a place of feeling a little more safe to explore queer identity, we're able to explore these different relationship models more than what we maybe were able to in the past. Plus, I think as more of us do explore these relationship models, the more people are going to be able to, just because they're going to have more examples of, you know, relationship models where, oh, actually polyamory does work. Oh, it's not going to lead to screaming and, you know, murder suicides or whatever, you know, whatever after school special used to talk about gay relationships. And I also think that as we hopefully continue progressing as a society, that some of the slut-shaming that comes from people who are engaging in polyamory will kind of go by the wayside, because fuck slut-shaming.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, rant over.
This is Azrael.
I
agree, as far as relationships now kind of souring, as far as like you had this push for marriage, and now that it is an option, it's interesting to see a push toward both extreme monogamy to like the point where no viable relationship unless it's monogamous, along with that there is, or at least I've read articles about a trend coming up where people around my age and younger aren't interested in relationships at all. They all, like, all they want is sex and like texting, and that's it.
Hey, this is Cliffy. There's the way our generations work, it's really kind of strange and funny if you think about it. I am running around with a whole lot of millennials nowadays. My entire life is surrounded by millennials. From 20 to 27, I've got them all around me. And you wouldn't believe on a lot of these younger gay men or bi men or lesbians that I've met, and even a few trans, you wouldn't believe how the one thing they want is a real relationship. Because it's like we were, you know, when I was growing up in high school, that was the one thing I always wanted, was a boyfriend, somebody to connect to and have a relationship with. And I was so alone. I thought about that a lot as a teenager. I thought about the words, I'm so alone. I kind of see that this next generation that has come forward, that's part of our community, we had to put all these walls and barriers up so that we can get noticed. And now we're at a stage where we're actually more integrated into all of society around us, not just queer culture or queer life. Like, we're becoming, our people are becoming more and more active and relevant and part of all facets of society and being recognized for that. And I think that next generation has broken down those barriers and walls. And I think that's why there's so much when it comes to gender, and so much when it comes to understanding sex and gender with their age group. But at the same time, these kids are true reflections of their parents, because at the same time, I'm watching them crave that relationship. But because they can't get it, well, we'll just go have a little fun over here on the side until then. That's what I had.
And this is Michael. And I think that, you know, Azriel and Cliff's comments are very much similar, because, I don't know, in my head, I would think, you know, for younger queer individuals who are just coming into themselves, it's going to be very much like either I want to find a boyfriend and settle down, or I want to sleep with as many people as I can. And they're going to flip-flop on occasion. You know, they're going to go through periods where they find that one person, they're like, okay, this is the person for me. It doesn't work out, and then just date and, or, you know, mess around with as many people as they want until that just clicks and they find that one person who they, you know, spend the most time with, and they're like, okay, this person kind of does it for me, and, you know, let me see how this goes. And it's just going, and it basically just kind of like growing up, you know, just experiencing as much as you can until you find that one thing that just kind of sticks with you.
This is Chase. To piggyback onto that, I think it's actually kind of glorious nowadays that I think what we're seeing is these younger queer people who are able to experience their adolescence as queer people. And so they're actually more, I don't know, they're able to go out and explore things better as they become adults, rather than a lot of us who were in the older generation who weren't able to really have much of an adolescence as queer people because we had to stay hidden so much, you know. And I think that's kind of awesome that, you know, and I think that's also one of the driving forces in why these relationship models are changing the way that they are, because people are finding themselves more able to be themselves at a much younger age. So they're not having these weird stilted developments that a lot of us have.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is Cliffy. Just to piggyback on that, I've seen that like recently. I was at a contest. It was called the Unqueenly Contest here at Sherwood Renaissance Festival. And it's where all the guys get together and they dress up as women and they try to raise money for 22 Kill, which is it's an organization that helps vets. So this particular contest, I watched an 8-year-old boy dressed as a woman get up and do Madonna. And I was like, this is amazing, thinking to myself, right? So I made a message afterwards, and I was like, I just want to say, guys, I really appreciate the parents of this kid allowing this kid to just celebrate who he is and have fun with it without putting anything more on it. I mean, as a gay man, this is how I see it, and I'm really excited about it. But I'm not pushing anything on this kid. I like the fact that this kid can do whatever he wants just because he wants to help raise money. And he wasn't shamed by his father. As a matter of fact, his father did the contest with him, and they participated. You know, the family turned to something that would say, like maybe my father's generation, very uncomfortable. Here's this 8-year-old and the person that raised him who are breaking these boundaries because it's about, you know, celebrating life and love.
Cinnamon rolls, not gender rolls.
Right.
This is Azrael. It is interesting to see things like that and notice how open we have become and are still becoming, but also see influences of the past still negatively affecting the peoples.
As great as things are, we still have a lot of work to do. For sure.
Yeah. Now, you know, Chase, when you were talking about you know, the ever-changing models of, you know, relationships. You had mentioned a friend who was voraciously bisexual, which I love. You know, this is going to kind of also tip into, like, just sexuality in general. And I guess, sexuality and gender besides, you know, just relationships. Now, do y'all see that's where I want to go with this. Do y'all see a change in how we are being more or less accepting of our, you know, brothers and even sisters who are bisexual or transgender when it comes to who we want to form relationships with. Because, you know, I myself, my boyfriend is transgender. I never thought I would date someone who's transgender. And I admit, when I was younger, I had some very, you know, I didn't realize at the time, some very transphobic notions on what it was to be with someone who is transgender. And having met him, he opened my mind and made me realize how wrong I was to, you know, have these preconceived notions on, you know, what was important in, you know, finding a boyfriend or being with someone. And he's also pansexual. So, you know, he likes men and women, just all sorts of attractive, and anyone in between. You know, pansexuality is just attracted to individuals regardless of gender expression. So, you know, what are your thoughts on this?
So this is Chase, and I do want to clarify, just in case anyone is wondering, when I say that this person is voraciously bisexual, Cliff knows who this person is that I'm talking about specifically. I do not mean to say that I do not mean to say that all bisexuals are slutty, or that bisexuals are only interested in sex. That's not what I'm implying. This person in particular is sexually voracious, regardless. They are very in tune with their body and very in tune with the bodies of the persons that they are engaged with whenever they are engaged with them, and are awesome for it. that being said, I think that there's a lot of work to do still with the perceptions of bisexuality, with the erasure of bisexuality in our communities. There's still a lot of negative stereotypes around, you know, bisexuality as someone who can't make their mind up, or someone who just wants to have sex a lot. Which there's nothing wrong with someone who hasn't made their mind up, and there's nothing wrong with someone who wants to have sex a lot. I don't really understand, I guess, the notion that everyone must automatically understand and know who they are and who they are attracted to, and that identity is never allowed to change. Simply because I know in my own journey, like, I started with thinking, oh, I'm probably bi, until I actually was intimate with a woman and went, oh, no, I'm not bi. Nope.
I'm
not.
Nope.
You know, it's like, oh, huh. Nope, that's not going to work. Sorry. I think that it falls into that behavior that we see a lot where, as an oppressed community, as a marginalized community, we adopt a lot of the behaviors of our oppressors. And so, you know, when we figure out who we are, you know, for example, as gay men, we see someone who deviates from that, and then we try to punish them because that's the model that we had. You know, we deviated from normal heterosexuality and we were punished for it. So once we figured out who we were and where we were, we have to then turn around and punish the others for deviating. This is actually another one of the reasons why I have so many and such mixed feelings around marriage equality, because I know how readily we fall into that. And I don't want us as a community to fall into the habit of punishing people for whom monogamy or, you know, marriage even just isn't what we want to do. If we're not, as Eddie liked to put it, as Hyperion liked to put it, if we're just not wired that way. I would personally love to see a lot more acceptance of, you know, people who are just accepting, you know, you're wired one way and I'm wired a different way, and that's cool. I think that it's important that we have different, you know, we have different people who are in different kinds of relationships, just because, you know, beyond all variety is the spice of life. If we can all play to our strengths and weaknesses, we're going to be better as a society for it. trying to crowbar everybody into the same, you know, monogamous and, you know, heteronormative anyway relationship model is just not going to work for everybody.
Hey, this is Cliffy. On this particular topic, I wanted to add that I have a very close friend. She and her partner are in a committed relationship, and she has a husband. And so for her, in the beginning, she got a lot of slut-shaming and bi-shaming because of her choices and what she wanted in her world. But as time has progressed, she's seen a lot less of that and a lot more openness to her unusual relationship, because it is different than normal people or other people, or not normal, other people. But definitely she's actually, we were just having this discussion on how it's no longer immediately it's about being a slut because she's bi and because she has a wife or and a husband. You know what I mean? And then the other part of what Michael said was, I can completely agree with him. I feel like I grew up in an age where transgendered folk were very much stepped on and treated badly, and that included me, because I had my own preconceived notions of what that was. And I always thought of myself that, hey, I feel like I've grown as a person. I'm better than that. You know, about a year ago, I ran into this gentleman that was just so adorable. He was like short and kind of tiny, but he was amazing. And he was so just, you know, he's just one of those. But in the end, I didn't realize that he was trans. And when we had that conversation, nothing changed for me. In that moment, I realized that I was still as attracted to him, with or without the knowledge that I had just received. And that attraction didn't change. And for me to realize that about myself and my own growth as a human being, that kind of shows me that we're starting to think a little bit more on it, and we're starting to open our minds up on it when it comes to those things. That's what I had.
Did you have anything to add, Pedro?
I have a question, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize that bisexual people have their own problems, especially with the greedy, slut-shaming connotations. But I'm wondering if they kind of are... Because I know that it's been stated that they're overlooked when it comes to equality. And I wonder if that maybe they're overlooked in that they blend in better with either the heterosexual community or the homosexual community. And it's just not, in that moment, it's not noticed until it's reiterated. Because I know that I have...
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I have two bisexual female friends, and I really don't think about it because they are married to men, and they're both in committed relationships, and the only time that I think about it is if it comes up in conversation.
So this is Chase, and I know I've been having a conversation with somebody about this topic actually fairly recently. And this is sort of what they mean by, like, when they talk about bi erasure, is that, you know, when a bisexual person is in a relationship with a person of the opposite sex, or opposite gender presentation, I guess, that they get considered to be, they no longer are considered to be bisexual, because they appear to be straight, or when they are in a relationship with a person of the same gender presentation, they are considered to be gay because they, you know, and so they feel like their identity as a person who is bisexual gets erased. And I think that's a difficult thing for people to deal with. just in terms of, you know, I know how hard I fought to figure out my own identity as a gay man. And so I can imagine how hard it would feel, or, you know, how awful it would feel to have that identity erased. Actually, I know exactly how hard that, I know how bad that feels to have your identity erased based on something that's relatively arbitrary, you know, because I'm not quote unquote into gay things the same way that other people are. So I don't know. I don't know that I would say that they're, I think that the whole idea of a bisexual person passing is kind of a problem. And I don't really have a good, I don't personally have a really good solution for it.
Well, I mean, this is Cliffy. This is one of those solutions that just happen over time and changes as perspective changes. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's times when I've, like I said, I was talking about my friend who's bisexual in a committed relationship with a man and a woman, that she is quick to remind someone, I'm bi, hello, because she is overlooked and forgotten because they only see the one or the other. They don't realize that there are both.
This is Michael. And yeah, it definitely, it's going to take just society in general to be like, to, how many want to say, to basically not make assumptions about other people. You know, when we need to, ideally, we should have, our society should be a place where we don't, you know, when we meet someone, make no assumptions about that person whatsoever. They are a blank slate until you get to know them. And unfortunately, that is not where we are at the moment.
Right.
So here's a couple other questions. What would you say? Fairly certain, yeah. Everyone here is in some sort of relationship with a person who identifies or presents as male. What would you say is usually like the hardest part of being in a relationship with another male-identified person, or what would be the easiest part?
Oh, gosh. This is Chase. I think the hardest part of being in a poly relationship with other men is that we have such weird schedules. trying to make a dinner date happen between three people is probably one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do. especially three people who do not cohabitate. I suspect that it's probably a lot easier if everybody lives in the same house, but yeah, that's just making schedules align is probably the hardest thing for me.
This is Cliffy. I would say that the hardest part, and this is in all polyamory, this isn't just, you know, men for men or women for women, it's really in all of us, but it's also, you know, really trying on us as a community, gay men as a community, because we did grow up taking so much hate and negativity for who and what we were. So what I would say is knowing the difference between insecurity and jealousy. Knowing that jealousy is without, it's outside of you, and this is your reaction to your moment here, and that insecurity happens within inside of you. And that insecurity, that has to be addressed by you, not by your partner. You have to figure that part out first before you can go to your partner and say, this made me feel insecure, I wanted to talk about it. So I would say that is like one of the big hurdles of getting through because of our own pain and the things that we face as gay men.
This is Azrael. Difficulty in this current relationship, the The beginning was a little rough just because I had just started exploring sexually, which is the reason I wanted to have the open relationship to begin with. But it's settled out. I have no experience with polyamory, but that is definitely something that I've heard as far as scheduling is being the most complicated thing in that kind of relationship. That being said, I don't think I'm quite understanding the difference between jealousy and insecurity, just because to me, jealousy is, or for the most part, and it could be completely utterly wrong, based on insecurity. Am I wrong?
I think you got everyone thinking.
When I had it explained to me, it was jealousy is like it happens. Yes, it does involve you. Yes, it is within you, but it is not. It is your reaction to somebody else and what they're doing, and you need to own and understand that, because it's a jealous moment that you're having from what somebody else is doing. It's an outside of you situation. Where insecurity is, I have these insecurities I didn't realize were there, and I need to own those insecurities first before I start to attack someone on, like, say, a jealousy issue. So I've had that with both my partners. So for us, we tried to understand the difference between the two and to get a better concept of what those two are, because in the end, it helped us realize some of these problems are because of me. In my own raising, in my own issues, in my own shadows. And I need to acknowledge that first before I take it out on you.
My experience, this is Chase, my experience has been that jealousy is a normal human emotion, and it tells you, like every other emotion, jealousy is there to give you information. If you are feeling jealous of your partner spending more time with someone else, the information in that is usually, I want you to spend more time with me. The difference in that is that if you're doing, in big air quotes, really, really big air quotes, if you're doing poly, right, end air quotes, you should be talking with your partner about when you have feelings of jealousy come up, because it's telling you something. That jealousy is saying, hey, I am noticing a thing here and I am dissatisfied with that thing. How can we make changes to what we are doing so that this dissatisfaction goes away? Insecurities, on the other hand, are telling you that you are in some way lacking. Jealousy can arise out of insecurities, in which case, you know, that whole thing we do about, you know, reviewing and peeling and getting to the root of your emotions is important to know, is this jealousy coming from where is the lack that this jealousy is arriving from? Is the lack a lack within myself? Am I thinking I am not enough for this person? Or am I just noticing a lack in how much time they're spending with me? You know, if you're feeling like your partner's not spending enough time with you because they're not spending enough time with you, then that's a thing you can communicate. If you are feeling like they're not spending enough time with you because you are somehow not worth their time, that's something that you need to both communicate with them and also work on your own. And I say you, not you specifically, Azrael. I mean you as in, you know, third person
general.
You. Yeah, general you. Thank you. I mean, the last, before I got into the relationship with, you know, the guys that I'm in right now, I was dating someone and we had an open relationship. And it got to the point where I had to break up with him because we saw each other twice in 6 months when we lived in the same city. Keeping in mind that, you know, Houston is a really, really big city. And we lived literally on opposite corners of it from each other. But still, we saw each other twice in a year. So, you know, when the discussion was, hey, I'm feeling kind of jealous because you're not spending much time with me. Why is that, you know, that you're not spending time with me? Oh, well, I'm really focused on my career right now. Okay, cool. Well, I'm breaking up with you because I need you. This is what I need you to do. And if you're not able to do that, then this relationship isn't going to work. Which was actually the first time I ever broke up with somebody. So yeah. Tag, whoever's next.
This is my, I don't think I could add anything else to what they, Jeff commented on, you know, the difference between jealousy and insecurity. I think y'all covered that perfectly. But I will say, you know, for me in being in relationship, maybe not my current relationship, because I feel like me and my boyfriend communicate very well, but I do think, and communication has been brought up a couple of times already, but I do think communication is like one of the biggest things that we have, that they're biggest issues in a relationship, whether you're male or female or in between or neither. And for me, I think mine, the maybe the root of where mine came from was emulating my parents' relationship. Because when my mother was, well, she still does this, when my mother's mad at my dad, she gives him the whole silent treatment. And she does that to the kids, too. Like, I was afraid for my life whenever my mother was mad at me because she would not speak to me. So, I think communication is definitely, like, we don't know how to talk to each other a lot of the time. You know, we need to be open to, you know, discussing our feelings, like Cliffy had mentioned with, you know, the jealousy, you know, being willing to be like, hey, this is what I'm feeling at the moment, and being honest, being either like, I know where it comes from, or I don't know where it comes from, I need to work on it, you know, or even being open to asking your partner for, hey, I need some space at the moment. You know, I'm having a bad time, a bad mental health day or whatever, and I need some space at the moment. And we also need to be receptive to whatever communication we get from said partners. And going, okay, yeah, I totally understand. When you want to talk or whenever you need me, I'll be just over here. Just let me know. And I think that's just something that a lot of us just don't get. We just don't get that we need to be open and receptive to these conversations or just talking in general.
Hey, this is Cliffy. Well, it just in the end, it just comes down to the raising of the person. And we're not taught first thing, you know, hey, you should communicate with your partner to fix this problem. We don't learn that until we do this a few times and figure out, hey, you know, if we just talked about these problems, we'd probably be able to work through it. Not to say that we haven't had plenty of screaming matches between the three of us, but we've gotten better at when we have those reactions, we need to figure out where they're coming from and we need to talk about it. And like you guys said, it's key is communication. That's in all of these situations, whether it's poly or not, communicate with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Chase. I think that, you know, just in seeing all of the different people in, you know, monogamous and non-monogamous relationships that I've seen, one of the worst things actually in any relationship is that silent treatment, because it just absolutely cuts the other person off. You know, it's great when people are able to continue to have a good relationship in spite of that. But really, that's one of the most damaging things I have seen anybody do in a relationship, is to give their partner the silent treatment. To me, that speaks of... to me, when someone gives me the silent treatment in a relationship, it tells me that they don't think enough of me to be able to try to talk to me. You know, of course, it's different if my partner says, hey, you know, I'm really angry and I'm really upset right now and I need a little bit of space so that I can get my head straight before we have this conversation. That's different. You know, in fact, I am that way, where I will tell somebody, hey, you know, look, I'm not in a good place with this argument that we're having. I'm very upset and I'm very angry, and I need to not talk to you for a little bit so that I can come and actually communicate with you. Because there is a big difference between talking at someone and actually communicating with them.
Ooh, we learned that lesson the hard way, didn't we?
Girl, yes, we did. We learned that as friends, too, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. That hour went by fast.
I know.
We're getting into it. Good conversation.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So, I guess, do y'all have any, you know, kind of last-minute thoughts or statements on, you know, relationships, you know, whether, you know, how, you know, what's good, bad, you know, how they're changing, you know, what are some last-minute thoughts that all of y'all have?
This is Cliffy. If I was to say anything, it would be that if somebody was coming into this, you're going to have to know yourself, know your shadows, and be willing to bend. Because in all relationships, that's a standard. In a poly relationship, it's kind of the law. You need to be open to those things, and you need to be ready to face them, because you're going to deal with them as you get further and further into your relationship with your partner, and as you grow and you change, and you got to be able to bend with it. You got to be able to let that windstorm bend the branches, but know that they're not going to snap.
This is Chase. I would say that the most important thing in terms of relationships is that you just need to go into it being yourself and having no expectations of the other person. The only thing you need to be worried about is how you behave, and that is, you know, ideally should be with open communication and with honesty and with as much vulnerability as you are capable of having, with the trust that you build with the person that you're having a relationship with. You cannot go into a relationship without vulnerability. It does not work.
This is Azrael. Nothing really to add, because that pretty much covers it as far as I'm concerned.
Awesome. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me too. I mean, y'all said perfectly, and I'm so happy that all of y'all were able to join Chase and me on the show today. And you know, maybe if our listeners have any questions or anything that they think we should probably cover a little bit more in depth in the future, you know, I would love to have everyone back on for like another round on talking about relationships in the future at some point. You know, just I think that would be so much fun.
I support my brotherhood, and I stand here to serve.
And I am going. You know, I should have figured this out before. You know, we got so far into the show, but got too wrapped up in the conversation, trying to find a nice song to play out to. But, you know, before, you know, since it's taking a little bit, do y'all have any events or activities coming up that you would like to promote?
I do. Pick me. So we are a week away from Beltane Festival at CMA. And as the Director of Member Services, I have been busting butt to grow our numbers. And we are so excited about the fact that we're like 20 people away from 500, which is huge. We're finally getting some real memberships and newbies coming back. So that's what I would promote. If you guys wanted to connect to a spiritual community, connect to a land, connect to other openly gay, trans people that fit our community, check out Beltane. Check out the website, Council of Magical Arts, and Beltane Festivals.
Stone and Stang. Stone and Stang.
Yeah. And where can
also
you find
Stone and Stang. Stone and Stang, I believe, is stoneandstang.com.
I think it's .org.
Is it .org? Okay. Stoneandstang.org. Also, I know that there is a Facebook page for it.
Yes. And that's going to be in, it's like the first weekend of October, I believe. But you can find all that information now on the website. I'm trying to think, what else? Because then just can't decide on a freaking song. So I will plug. I am actually in a book. I can't believe I've been published. But I submitted an article to a queer magic anthology, which was being published by a good friend of mine, Lee Harrington, and his cohort, Kai Emmett. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I messed up their name. But yes, it's called Queer Magic Power. Oh, I'm going to butcher it. Let me see if I can...
Power Beyond Boundaries.
Yes. Power Beyond Boundaries. It is available for pre-order on Amazon. I believe it should be out the first week of May.
May 1st.
I just got my... Yep. Thank you. It's just so awesome.
I'm looking at it right now because I didn't realize it wasn't out yet. And I really want to order it. I'm hoping to be able to order the ebook for it.
You should be able to get it either ebook or physical copy. I got my advanced contributor's copy last week, and I was like, I can't believe I'm holding this. but the book was a passion project of Lee and Ty's for a couple of years now. They've been working on it, and I submitted an essay last year-ish. Yeah, maybe a little bit longer, and they accepted it. And my first time actually like writing something like that and getting it published, so I'm very excited, and I'm also nervous because, like I said, never written something like that before, and I hope that people like it. There already been a few reviews out on the book, and I would say, you know, I have a reviewer's copy, but we're already so close to the release of the book. So, you know, hopefully after the book's released, you know, we'll get some nice new reviews. And actually, Lee is going to be on the show next month. Yes, I think I have him down for May to talk about Sacred Kink. So that's going to be a fun show. Did I? Just any, meeny, miny, moe, I am going to choose a song.
Do it.
No, that's a good one. So, again, I'm going to play us out with a song. And thank you again, everyone, for being on the show. Thank you, Cliff. Thank you, Adriel. Thank you, Chase, for being my wonderful co-host. And this
love you
is
guys.
Going
Will
to
we
be...
talk again?
Yes. And this is going to be S.J. Tucker, Mirror Self from the Strollers Mix. Play.
Mirror Self, reflect my face. Hear my words, take my place. breath and blood will make you whole. You have my heart and I my soul. Mirror said, reflect my face, hear my words, take my place. Breath and blood will make you whole. Take my heart and leave my soul. Hold slow the work, so be ready to run and hide. Is this the magic? Between the walls, to and fro, hand in hand, it's time to go. Never fear, my miracle. Step by step, between the walls.
That was, again, that was S.J. Tucker, Mirror Self, from the Strowers Mix. Oh, that was such a good show. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll join us again in a couple of weeks for our next episode. I don't have anything marked on calendar yet. We'll have something. We will have something up and ready for y'all. And again, thank you to my wonderful co-host, or my wonderful guest co-host, Chase, for being on the show. And to our brothers, Cliff and Azrael, for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend, and we will see y'all in a couple of weeks. And let me just get over to the closing track. Have a blessed day.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.